Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. President Trump is meeting today with his Brazilian counterpart, President Jair Bolsonaro, in Washington. The 63-year-old leader of Latin America's largest nation is often described as the Trump of Brazil or the Trump of the tropics because of his extreme right-wing politics and attacks on the gay community, women, people of color, and he uses the term fake media about the press. But while Bolsonaro is stateside, back home, he is defending against suspicious ties allegations to organized crime that have come to light in his nascent presidency. This includes alleged links to the infamous assassination of Rio de Janeiro politician Marielle Franco. Now, this is being brought to the attention of Americans by none other than Glenn Greenwald, founding editor of The Intercept, who has produced a video with a detailed family tree of Brazil's president's connections to paramilitary gangs responsible for violence throughout Brazil, as Bolsonaro revels in his nickname, the Trump of the Tropics. Glenn, welcome back to WNYC. Thank you for coming on for this.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
First, for background, for people who don't follow Bolsonaro and news about him, what's the reason or agenda for this meeting of the Trumps of the North and the South? Do you know why they're together today?
Well, it is true, as you said, that Trump, that Bolsonaro has modeled himself rhetorically and politically after Trump. Although there are some really fundamental differences that I think makes Trump much more dangerous than Trump.
Including things
about Brazil and the U.S. But the Brazilian right has consciously modeled itself after Trump, and Bolsonaro is a similarly outsider figure who was never accepted by the political elite. He was kind of regarded as a fringe and as a joke. The media mocked him. They definitely were against him during his run. So part of it is just that his success politically came from things like using Twitter and using social media and working around the media and making them his enemy as opposed to using them as a vessel for communication, much like Trump did. But the much deeper and more interesting and more substantive reason is that Bolsonaro comes from this kind of era of right-wing fanaticism that's steeped in the Cold War. He was part of the military regime that ruled Brazil, and the CIA helped overthrow the democratically elected government of Brazil in 1964. It propped up that military regime, and so the Brazilian right that Bolsonaro was a part of very much views the U.S. As its principal military geopolitical partner, and not what the prior governments of Brazil tried to do, which is kind of create a regional alliance within South America. But Bolsonaro worships the U.S. He saluted the U.S. flag. When John Bolton came to visit, he saluted John Bolton, something a bizarre thing for a leader to do, but that's part of his whole persona, is this idea that Brazil is once again going to be a junior partner to the U.S.
What must conditions have been like for the people of Brazil? And you're one of them. We should say that you live in Brazil. Listeners, if you didn't know that about Glenn Greenwald from The Intercept, you know it now. But what must conditions in the country have been for the people in the movement that you just described to have ruled the day after a number of successive socialist presidents, for someone like Bolsonaro to get elected, assuming the election was free and fair?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because in the U.S. we've talked a lot about why did Trump win, and we tend to blame things like Putin or WikiLeaks or the New York Times or Jim Comey. But the reality is, across the democratic world, you have these outsider figures who were previously unthinkable, whether it be Brexit in the UK or Marine Le Pen in France, who suddenly are finding great popularity. And the reason isn't that Brazil overnight became a far-right country. A lot of people we know voted for Bolsonaro, not because of all these horrible things he said about women or gays or the dictatorship, but despite them, it's because the political class and the political system, the elite class of Brazil, has failed the vast majority of people in Brazil. This is as true in the U.S. and throughout the West. And when that happens, people will turn to whoever it is using demagogic tactics or other kinds of techniques who vow to burn down the system that, with validity, they blame for the suffering and deprivation in their lives. And Bolsonaro very much capitalized on that. He said, I've also been hated by the whole spectrum from the left to the right in Brasilia for all these years. I hate the media. I hate all the people that you hate, and I'm going to go there and we're going to clean it all out. And that message in a country suffering from multiple epidemics of poverty and crime and corruption and joblessness, it really resonated. And I think that's a big concern for people around the West, is that these institutions, these neoliberal institutions, are failing. And when they do, people who can capitalize on the anger that results are going to be able to bring themselves into power, not because people like their ideology, but because they're just so angry and desperate they'll try anything.
And yet your reporting uncovered numerous connections between the Bolsonaro family and violent organized gangs. Where should we start?
Well, that is the irony, is probably Bolsonaro's principal appeal as a political candidate was the epidemic of crime and violence sweeping Brazil, which is very real. A police officer in Rio de Janeiro has a higher chance of being murdered on any given day than a U.S. soldier had at the height of the Iraq War. It's war zone levels of violence. And Bolsonaro was a former army captain, very tough on crime, convinced people he would combat crime. The problem is that when Bolsonaro talks about crime, he typically tries to focus everybody's attention on the poor black people who live in the favelas and the drug traficantes or drug traders who rule the favelas. But the reality is that the most sophisticated and most menacing crime is coming from what are called militias. They're like paramilitary gangs, and kind of half paramilitary gangs, half mafiosos, kind of familiar to people who live in New York, except that they're composed largely of current and former members of the police and the military. They're highly sophisticated. They use their training and skill as snipers or assassins. They know they use their investigations, their knowledge of how investigations work, to carry out crimes without detection. And there was just recently this week, finally after a year, an arrest of two people, as you indicated, who were part of the people who assassinated city councilwoman Marielle Franco. And one of them just so happens to live basically on the same street as Jair Bolsonaro, whose daughter was dating his son, who has pictures of himself with Bolsonaro on his social media accounts, and Bolsonaro's son ended up employing for 10 years the wife and the mother of the chief of the worst militia in Brazil, the one that murdered Marielle and so many other people. And there are on and on and on connections like that, where you have Bolsonaro on the one hand saying he's going to combat crime, by which he means poor black people, and then on the other, all kinds of very deep, close connections to the people who are really responsible for the crime wave, which are these paramilitary gangs and militias that the Bolsonaros are very closely tied to.
Let me take a step back on something you just said in that story. If the shooter of the Rio de Janeiro politician Marielle Franco, if the shooter, police sergeant Ronnie Lessa, lives on the same street as Bolsonaro's Rio house in an exclusive gated community there, sounds like an extreme coincidence, given how massive and sprawling of a city Rio de Janeiro is. But are you trying to tie this assassination to Bolsonaro?
No, and I'm not saying that to be coy. I don't think that the fact that someone who lives on your street murders someone is evidence that you participated in the murder, notwithstanding what a huge coincidence it is, because for one thing, coincidences do happen. But also, I don't think there's any motive that Bolsonaro himself would have had to, for example, order the murder of Marielle or participate in that murder. That isn't at all what anyone is trying to suggest.
Mm-hmm.
What is being suggested, and what a lot of this evidence shows, including that, but a lot more, including some of what I referenced, is that there's just a constant connection between Bolsonaro and these militias. He's philosophically praised them in the past. You know, he said people on the left treat them like they're mafiosos. They're really just police officers on their off time using their weapons to try and patrol their neighborhoods and keep it. So he's politically praised them. Everybody knew they were philosophically aligned. But the shocking thing of what we learned in the last 2.5 months is just how many actual associations, business transactions, connections there are between the Bolsonaro family and these key militia leaders. So no, I genuinely do not believe that Bolsonaro participated in the assassination of Marielle, nor do I think any of this evidence shows this. But what I do believe and what I do know is that Bolsonaro and his three sons, all of whom occupy public office, have extremely close relationships, business, personal, and financial, with the people who did do that and the militias that have done very similar things for many years here in Brazil.
We're talking with Glenn Greenwald, founding editor of The Intercept, who lives in Brazil, about Bolsonaro, Jair Bolsonaro, the president there, who is in Washington today to meet with President Trump. He is nicknamed the Trump of Brazil, or the Trump of the tropics, because of many political similarities, and you've been hearing some of what Glenn's been describing about Bolsonaro's ties to organized crime there. And we can take a couple of phone calls. Any Brazilian Americans listening right now, or Brazilians in Brazil for that matter, 212-433-WNYC, or anyone else, 212-433-9692, and let's take a call from Ann in Park Slope. Hi, Ann, you're on WNYC with Glenn Greenwald.
Good morning, Brian, and good morning, Glenn. This is like a personal high for me. You are two of my greatest news sources, and I'm speaking to you both
at the
same time. This is amazing.
Thank you.
Mr. Greenwald, I'm very, very curious about what, I mean, in some ways this seems like a bit of a nationalist photo op for Bolsonaro and Trump. I know that the U.S. has some things that they can seek from Brazil, including the potential for airspace for NASA. Brazil has land that's very close to the equator. It saves NASA a lot of fuel. But I'm very curious about what else Trump actually could possibly seek to gain from this opportunity to meet with Bolsonaro, particularly in regards to Venezuela.
Yeah, it's a great question. First of all, Venezuela is definitely at the top of their list. As I said earlier, Bolsonaro comes from this heritage of right-wing fanaticism that's obsessed with communism, and they've been obsessed with communism in Venezuela and Cuba forever. So the opportunity to engineer regime change in Venezuela is something extremely attractive to Bolsonaro, although the Brazilian military, which is very powerful in Brazil and isn't always on the side of Bolsonaro, has steeped within it this kind of non-interventionist culture. We don't involve ourselves in the internal affairs of other countries. So they've been resistant to the idea that Brazil should work with the U.S., but that's definitely something Bolsonaro wants to do. But there's other opportunities as well. China is by far the biggest trading partner for Brazil. There's ways they can work together in order to strengthen both countries' agenda when it comes to China. Bolsonaro has a huge evangelical base that is very, very insistent on supporting Israel and moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, that I'm certain is on the agenda as well. And then just in general, you know, you have John Bolton now in the White House. He talks openly about the Monroe Doctrine, the idea that basically the U.S. should exert hegemonic control of Latin America. Brazil is the biggest country in Latin America, is extremely important to that. The CIA has always used Brazil as an operating base, and undoubtedly that will continue.
Daniel in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Glenn. I just wanted to mention something that also is not being actually playing in the news so much here, is that Bolsonaro just met with, he just had a meeting with his quote-unquote philosopher that he follows, Olavo de Carvalho, which actually he's based in the U.S. And also, now I'm forgetting his name.
Steve Bannon?
Yeah, Steve Bannon, exactly. And he met also with Steve Bannon. That also shows, I mean, I want Glenn to talk about a little bit about that, actually. That's all.
Thank you. A Bolsonaro-Steve Bannon connection, Glenn?
Yeah, well, first of all, it reminds me actually of something I omitted in the last answer, which might have been the most important thing in terms of the U.S.-Brazil connection. That's part of what Steve Bannon and Olavo, the philosopher of Bolsonaro, so-called, is trying to do. They want to sell off the Amazon. They want to privatize the Amazon, probably the single most important environmental resource that the Earth has, on which climate change scenarios depend, and they want to privatize and industrialize and sell it off to the highest bidder. I'm sure that that's a big part of what U.S. industry is interested in as well. This philosopher that Bolsonaro uses as his guru, is to call him unhinged. I mean, it doesn't even begin to get it how crazy this guy is. He has all kinds of conspiracy theories about how fetuses are used to sweeten Pepsi and Coca-Cola. He calls into question the validity of all kinds of medication. He's essentially wild and crazy, but has developed a real following in Brazil's right-wing circles and has a lot of sway with Bolsonaro. And Steve Bannon recognized very early on, when people were laughing at the prospect that Bolsonaro could be president, that Bolsonaro has the same kind of political skill and talent that Trump has, which is to sort of opportunistically seize on people's fears, to speak to the common person in a way that seems convincing. And Steve Bannon developed a really close relationship with Bolsonaro's sons and then Bolsonaro himself long before anybody took Bolsonaro seriously as president, just like he did with Donald Trump. And that, too, is part of this kind of international agenda to create a global alt-right movement that now includes Brazil, which I'll remind the audience is the fifth largest country in the world, filled with massive oil reserves, and as I said earlier, a very valuable Amazon. It's a big and important country in the hands of some pretty extremist ideologues.
Is there much of a refugee flow to Brazil, either from Venezuela or from the Central American countries, from where so many refugees are coming here?
There's been some spillover with the crisis in Venezuela of refugees into the northern part of Brazil. So to the extent that Brazil has any legitimate interest in what's happening in Venezuela, that would be the thing that you would point to. There hasn't been anywhere near the kind of migration mass toward Brazil. In fact, there are a lot of people who are immigrants leaving Brazil, either legally or without documentation, going to the U.S. Because of the economic crisis. So there's been some spillover from the crisis in Venezuela. It's actually caused some violence in some of the northern border towns in Brazil where they weren't welcomed. So that has been an issue, but there's no major surge of immigration toward Brazil because there just aren't jobs or economic opportunity for the people who live in Brazil to begin with.
Edson in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Glenn Greenwald from The Intercept. Hi, Edson.
Hey, hi, Brian. Thank you very much for taking my call. My topic is Brazilians are very skeptical regarding human rights issues. And also I would like to talk about Marielle Franco. She was denouncing what was happening in the favelas. She was totally against the occupation of the favelas by the military. And also she was denouncing the killings of black youth. They were really targeted by the police in Brazil. So I think this was one of the reasons she got assassinated, because she was part of a committee overseeing the military police in Brazil. And also, I think Bolsonaro got elected mainly because of the media. The media was totally against the PT party since they get going, and because Lula was, you know, had a relationship with countries like Venezuela, Cuba, and some countries of Africa. The media in Brazil, they never really accepted those kind of relationship in Brazil.
Thank you, Edson. Briefly, Glenn, because we're going to be out of time soon.
Yeah, I mean, Marielle Franco is one of my family's best friends. My husband actually served with her in the Rio de Janeiro City Council. He's now in the Brazilian Congress in the same party. And obviously the fact that she was a black woman who came from the favelas denouncing human rights abuses was certainly a major factor in why she was assassinated, and that's why people are worried about similar people from her own party. Like I said, the media was against Bolsonaro, but the caller is right. They were viciously against PT, and you could say that did help lay the groundwork for Bolsonaro's rise as well.
So last thing, what do you hope to come of your releasing your reporting, including the video that we referred to before, on Bolsonaro's ties to paramilitary gangs, right at the same time that Bolsonaro is in Washington meeting with Trump today?
Well, I think as a journalist, I mean, the idea is that the Bolsonaro campaign is trying to use this, or the Bolsonaro government is trying to use this trip to reestablish his reputation as this respected, strong leader, because Donald Trump is willing to meet with him. And what I want the U.S. and the international press to understand is how much trouble he's actually in Brazil because of these scandals and the type of person that he actually is, and not to fall prey to the propaganda of the Brazilian government that they're trying to shroud his trip in.
Glenn Greenwald, founding editor of The Intercept, which now has a video with a detailed family tree, you might call it, of Brazil's president's connections to paramilitary gangs responsible for violence throughout Brazil as Bolsonaro visits Washington today. Thank you a lot, Glenn.
Thank you, Brian.